This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Time to head off to Amsterdam to connect with Professor Dion Foster, a theologian at the Free University in Amsterdam. Good morning to you, Dion. How's it going?
Hey, Brad. Doing just great. We are nearing the end of our summer holidays.
Yeah.
And yesterday we took a nice long cycle out to the old city of Maiden, where there's a castle and a fort, and it was absolutely stunning.
Oh, well, now you're just rubbing it in while the rest of us are working. We hope you're having a wonderful time, man. You must be seeing so many exciting things. How long is the summer vacation? I know we've got summer American summer holiday stuck in our heads, but what is it like in Europe?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's normally a sort of a 4 week. This would be the equivalent of our sort of December, January, you know, late December to early or mid January vacation, which normally begins late July and then runs to sort of mid August, and then things start up again. So, of course, in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the summer now. So, absolutely wonderful.
Well, enjoy it, Dion. I have this friend. And when I first met him a good number of years ago, he would tell me that he would sleepwalk, and that his parents have found him in the most unusual places in the house, just outside the house. I mean, it's scary to the point that you have to be very aware. What can he do in his sleepy state? Where can he end up? And I never thought I'd ever met anyone who actually sleepwalks. But then he was married, and we knew his wife well, and she was saying, goodness gracious me, it's kind of scary, the whole idea. So I was just thinking, after a comment you shared with me in the week, it is possible that as believers in Jesus, that we could be sleepwalking our way through our lives in terms of not being awake to what God might be doing and being, I don't know, just so disconnected and not living a really incredible faith life that we could have.
Brad, you know, and of course, the little conversation we had was about the Transfiguration. So
yes.
Yesterday actually was the Feast of the Transfiguration. So the 6th of August is when we celebrate that moment where the disciples first came to recognize the glory of Jesus. And many of us will know that story of Jesus going up the mountain with his disciples or some of his disciples. And there, as Jesus is busy praying, as he's in deep communion with his Father, they suddenly recognize for the first time, this is the promised Messiah. This is the Lord who has been promised to us, the one who's come to save us. This is God. And in that moment, they recognize what Luke, in Luke chapter 9, if our reader, listeners want to go and read it, Luke 9, 29 to 36, what they recognize as the glory of God. Now, there are a couple of interesting little things that struck me about that passage as I was reading it yesterday, Brad. The first thing is the point that you've just made. You know, here are these people who literally they've given up everything. They've given up their fishing businesses. They've left their families. They've left their security. They're following this sort of guy with charisma who seems to be, you know, speaking a kind of truth that they've never heard before, but it's still not, it's not quite the truth yet. And Brad, I must say, I've seen it many times in the church. You know, people come, or in Christianity, they come to faith because they can see there's the promise of something different, but they haven't yet fully recognized the glory of who it is that they are serving. Now, the point that Luke makes in the telling of Luke chapter 9 is that, you know, they were up on this mountain and Jesus was praying through the night, and they awoke in a sense physically from their sleep to see his glory all around them, the shining of his deity, his majesty all around them. Now, this thing, I think, for me is an important thing. You know, the little story you've just told about the friend who sleepwalks, you know, the dangers of going through life blinded, with your senses dulled, not knowing where you're going, not with your eyes open, that can be incredibly, incredibly dangerous. And imagine how it is for us who live in this world where everything that we are dealing with is not only the physical reality, but there is also this deeper spiritual reality, and that has both promise and peril. The promise of God's goodness, the promise of God's love, being able to see God's power and mercy operative, but also the opposite, going through life not being aware of these things, and so thinking that everything only happens in the physical realm, that everything that we have to deal with, whether it's the safety of our children, the security of our jobs, our identities, that all of these things are based only in the physical realm. That's a little bit like living life in a drowsy state. Now, Brad, the second thing that strikes me here is related to this, but this concept of glory that Luke speaks about, the revelation of who Jesus truly is, the God-man, the one who was there from the creation of the world and will be there until its salvation, that this glory was never absent. I mean, Jesus was always who he is. It's not that he became something different in their presence. He was always glorified, but somehow their senses had become dulled. You know, I often think about that song that we sing in church, Give God, Give Him the Glory. You know, the one I'm talking about. I'm not going to sing it because people will cry. But, you know, we almost have this idea as if glory is something that we have that God needs and we give it to God.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's such a wrong view. You know, God's glory is there, but our sinfulness, our laziness, our inattentiveness, our lack of closeness to God sometimes robs us of recognizing the majesty, the grace, the mercy, the love of the God who is glorious. So, Brad, for me, that was a real challenge yesterday as I was just thinking about this. You know, I love mountaintop experiences, but I live my life in the valley. And that's where I really want to know the glorious God, where things are messy and dusty and difficult. That's where I want to be able to see Jesus for who he truly is and be changed by his life and his love. And maybe for one of our listeners today, that's something as well. So let's challenge ourselves to become disciplined, attentive, present to the God who is glorious, to Jesus who is glorious within us and amongst us, and see him in the ordinary places today.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thanks, Dion. Now, I've got to come in with something left field here. I wouldn't be right if I didn't. So there, Peter, James, and John are with Jesus, and then the transfiguration. And then Moses and Elijah appeared and talked with Jesus. And then Peter, I never understand why, he says, let's build a tent. But he says, a tent for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. How did he know it was Moses and Elijah? Did they introduce themselves? Did Jesus tell them what was going on? I'm stuck there. I was just wondering, how did he know who they were? Because they didn't exactly have photos, you know, to look back and say, oh, I recognize you from the pic I saw from my Bible.
Brad, so just to say, there are various traditions around this, the interpretation of this. But one of them, obviously, is that the Hebrew culture, the Jewish culture, was very much an oral culture. It was about the telling of stories. And that's why, for example, even today, Jewish children go to Hebrew school, where from the very beginning they get taught, they get formed into these narratives, the stories of the prophets. And it's likely that they would have already been able to identify something about a person. You know, I for example, we often meet people at Schiphol Airport, people we've never met before. And, you know, I often WhatsApp someone to say, listen, I've got to meet this person. I know you've met them before. Tell me a little bit about them. And they say, well, they're about this tall and they walk in this way, or you'll recognize them by their clothes. So it's possible that's one of the traditions, that they were so schooled in that narrative. But of course, the other tradition is that we must be careful again not to pull this only into the physical. The recognition may actually have been something spiritual, something prophetic, something that was happening in that spiritual realm, a kind of divine revelation, a connection that Jesus is here with the prophets, and that part of that is a confirmation of who Jesus is.
Yes. Much better answer than the two of them coming forward and shaking hands saying, hey, I'm Elijah. Hey, I'm Moses, which is unlikely to have happened. But we thank you. You're the sensible one. We appreciate that a lot. Dion, thank you so, so much for this. And thanks for opening our eyes to these beautiful things and help us to also see the scripture in a brand new way. Bless you and have yourself a really beautiful day and enjoy what's left of the summer vacation.
Thanks, my friend. Bless you and to our listeners as well. Bye then.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.